Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports, live from Las Vegas, March 27, 2018. Thanks for joining us. Our guest tonight, great guest, appreciate you being here, Vinny Raucci. Or is it Raucci?
Raucci,
okay. I think your dad set us straight last time, but Vinny Raucci Jr. Thanks for being here, Vinny.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Of course, hosting tonight along with myself is only Gary Wyatt.
How you guys doing?
The man on a mission. We lost one here. What a skeleton crew tonight.
He'll catch up.
Wait a minute. I don't think he'll ever catch up.
Okay, you got me there.
But, of course, we'll get along here without... What's his name again? I can't remember his name. Justin.
I don't remember his name.
All right.
He's just a tall person that's in here.
Yeah, tall person. You may or may not like the guy.
Yeah. Wait, he might be talking.
Yep. We found him.
That's right. We got him.
Anyways, Justin said he had to work, which we'll see.
Hey,
we'll see. We're going to ask his boss.
That's right. We're texting his boss right now.
I know who his boss is. I'm going to ask his boss. So.
That's right.
But, again, thanks for joining us here, Vinny. We'll get to you here in a second. Of course, you guys had some racing this past weekend, and there's a lot of racing going on this past weekend. I was in California, so I didn't see any Vegas race. So we're going to rely on you on what happened here at Vegas. So hopefully you caught a lot of it on top of being in the races. But I was out in Irwindale, their opening night for their – NASCAR series, I guess, out at the Irwindale Speedway. Great facility out there. Want to thank the low budget TV guys, talking to them, and then also great show them guys put on out there. Of course, the new promoters out there, Tim Huddleston, starting off their season this year. After the talk of the track closing and all that, they actually didn't, so that's always good news when the track does not close. But great job out there, Tim Huddleston, and I believe he's teamed up with like the guy from Sunrise Ford out there, and a bunch of other guys out there. Great job. It was a great show. They had seven divisions. What do they have? They had the Legends,
Supers.
They trucks. Had the trucks. They had the Junior Lates. We'll talk about here in a second. Got some familiar names there. And they had the what used to be the S2 late models. They're actually the Spec late models now.
Yeah.
And they're calling it their IROC series, which is just their Irwindale Race of Champions. I don't believe that's a points division for like their NASCAR series, but it is their local a points series. It's a Spec late model division that they have out there. So. Great show. A lot of familiar names out there. Of course, Ryan Partridge, one of the familiar names locally at that track. He won the truck race out there. And then also the spec late models.
Oh, was that the spec late models?
Yeah,
okay.
That was the spec late models. They actually look faster out there than they usually do. So I don't know what they did with them, but they look pretty good. Of course, they ran on the half mile track instead of the 3/8 mile, inner track. But great job out there. Great facility. It was good to see that track continue to run. Anytime you see a track, talking about closing, it's always a tragedy to hear, just like Orange Show. But, at the time, a few years back, along with Irwindale a few years back, but they continued to operate. So, hey, Vinny, have you ever been to Irwindale? Have you raced Irwindale?
I've been to Irwindale for the Lucas Oil Modified Tour and also for the SRL races.
Great facility out there, don't you think?
I love the facility. I love the racetrack. I love the great side-by-side racing that happens at that track. I've tested a modified there, but it was only like 10, 15 laps.
But there were 10 exciting
Yeah, it's exciting last birthday.
Especially the modified.
I also tested a junior late model down on the infield track.
Oh, no way. Okay.
So, I mean, I got some experience up track, cool. But not a lot.
Well, that's cool. That's good to hear. I'm glad you got a chance to be on both the tracks. They're actually, you know, the third mile inner track and, of course, the half mile outer track. But you said you were in a junior late model in the inner track before.
Yeah.
Were you just testing or did you actually race?
I had a late model that I bought for myself,
okay.
I was going to make it into a late model to race Madera, and I didn't have enough money to put the car fully together back together.
Right.
So I sold it to a family down in Verona.
Okay.
And their names are the Menkes, and when they put the car together, they offered me to be the first person that drives it. So
cool.
It was pretty cool to go down there and drive.
How old were you at the time?
Actually, this is like a couple months ago.
Oh, recently. Oh, okay. How old are you now then?
I'm 19.
Okay, cool.
So I was probably 18 to 19 almost.
Probably. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Did you just have a birthday?
No.
Okay.
It was at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
I know when his birthday
is. Oh, I can't keep track of your birthday, Vinny. I'm sorry.
No, I got my car number.
Oh, no.
911.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
How do you think I knew when his birthday was?
Oh, just man.
His car number.
I thought it was, you know.
No.
For a case of emergencies, call Vinny.
For plumbing.
Yeah, for plumbing.
There you go.
Hey, we got to plug your dad's business, obviously. Wait, what is your dad's business real quick?
His business is called Silver Star Plumbing, Drain, and Sewer. Basically, he does all plumbing needs. Mostly, we do commercial, but we do some residential.
You work for your dad?
I work for my dad 24/7, except when I'm racing.
Wow.
I love the job. I love learning from him, and hopefully, I can take over the business one day from him.
Oh, Dad, you better be listening.
Oh, I know he's listening.
and like any good business of a racer, it helps fund your racing. So you guys call him up, keep the racing going and all that, but we'll plug him some more here coming up. So bringing up the junior late models, we got a chance to see some of the junior late models down there at Irwindale, and they actually, like you said, they started up in Madera, and Vegas also has incorporated the junior late models few times this year, I believe, on their schedule, just like last year. They had some intermission or some exhibition type races, but a couple familiar names we saw down there.
RJ Smotherman.
RJ Smotherman, the number 24 junior late model.
I don't know his first name, but Lane.
Okay.
Is that the kid from
Utah?
The motor builder.
Keller?
Kyle Keller. Kyle Keller. I'm sorry, not Lane. It was Keller.
Yep, of course he was there, and I didn't realize they actually. I think they raced a Friday night race, but we weren't there on a Friday.
We were just there on a Saturday.
So, of course, Kyle won his Saturday race. So that's pretty exciting. And unfortunately, RJ had to kind of sit out. They were having some engine issues, motor issues, but he was able to start, get some points, and kind of sit out the rest of that time. But it was good to see. Now, I got to apologize to Dylan Smother because I didn't recognize him. We were walking, and then you saw them, and I just kind of spaced it. I thought she was just looked familiar because she was one of the Smotherman family. And then later on, you're like, that was Dylan. I was like, no way. I didn't even recognize her, so I feel bad about that. So sorry, Dylan. I did apologize to her at the track later on, but I got to say it again. I did not recognize her at all. So, again, sorry about that. But great racing down there. Next race they have.
Speaking of the junior late models, they come to Vegas on the 14th.
Coming up.
The next race.
That is the next race at Vegas, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Wow, a couple weeks. So.
Along with the big rigs.
Oh, man, it's going to be exciting.
Big rig night.
You know, that's always bring your respirator. Because the diesel smoke gets pretty thick.
I was told hopefully the wind is blowing away from the stands.
Hopefully the wind is blowing, period, so it doesn't just settle in the racetrack, you know. But, so April 14th, Big Rig Night at LVMS. You can go to LVMS.com, click on the Bull Ring link, and check out the rest of the schedule there. Going back to Irwindale, of course, I want to thank them again, the low-budget TV guys down there. Thank you. And also, their next race is April 7th, I believe, which is next weekend. But, yeah, their regular Nidus, you know, racing. Well, I don't know all the divisions they have down there. So, but anyways, getting back to our local track here at Vegas, Vinny, you raced this past weekend. You did double duty, correct? Is that something you're going to do all year long?
Yeah, I'm planning on it. I mean, it's a lot of work that goes into it, but yeah, we're planning on running all year.
Now, I got to say something. The last time you were in was over a year ago.
Yes.
It was over a year ago. It was like January 2017. So what were you scared of? What kept you away from us this long?
To be honest, all the drama that goes on at the track. And
Wait a minute. There's track drama?
Not at the bullring.
Come on. We won't point any fingers, but
no. But you know, I wanted to take a break and go into a different path of racing some dirt, and I did get to race a lot of dirt. I mean, I have 10 races on my new car that I got.
So, because that was something we talked about back then, like a little over a year ago. You're talking about doing some races down in Texas. Also, was that? From last time, did you end up doing
at that moment when we got the car, we were like, you know what, we should race here, get to know how to work on the car and know what to do before we travel all the way to Texas and get our butts handed to us. so
you got at the time you had a dirt late model.
No, modified.
I mean modified. I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself here. That could be the future.
No.
So the dirt modified. I'm sorry. The dirt modified. And you raced what locally?
I raced Pahrump. I raced Paris, and I also raced here at the Dome of the Desert.
Okay.
I mean, I learned a lot of stuff. I met a lot of good people that helped me out about learning about the dirt stuff. At the duel, I learned a lot. I didn't do very good, but
in your defense, you have the best of the best from all over the country racing at the duel in the desert, you know. So the worst guys at the duel are some of the best guys around the United States. So,
I mean, out of 400 cars finishing 129 out of the 400,
that's
not that bad.
No, that's pretty good.
For me, I want to finish higher than that, but, I mean, it's a learning curve.
What was your first race in that dirt modified? Where was that at?
My first race in that dirt modified would be Barona in California.
Oh, okay. And what size track is that?
That is I believe a quarter.
Quarter mile. So
it's like per rump, no, but the same size basically almost. But when we got there, we didn't know anything. We had Charlie Wall setting it up, and it just didn't go our way.
Right. So that's something, you know, that's the kind of the thing about dirt tracks is you could set your car up the way most the other cars are set up and all that, but it's just not going to work out because of the track conditions or whatever it is, the type of dirt they're using and all that. But it was your first time in a dirt modified period.
It was actually my third time in the dirt modified, but it was first time in my own car.
Okay.
I raced Yuma before that in a B mod, actually in the A mod class, B mod 602 and A mod 604.
Great motor. And was it both? Those races were IMCA sanctioned races that you raced in?
Both of them were IMCA sanctioned. Okay. And then the race before that was my first race. It was at ET, which is Arizona Speedway.
Okay.
And that one I raced for the Wall family too. But that one I was still learning. I was driving like a pavement car basically.
Right. Well, that's a hard habit to break because a lot of people don't know. You know, when you get into the dirt, I mean, you obviously at some point started picking up the idea of the dirt and getting the car pitched and how it all works and all that. But, a lot of people might not understand if they haven't been into both a dirt and an asphalt car that, you tend to drive in and just drive it like an asphalt car.
Yeah. But, so, I mean, I love my dirt car. I probably would never sell it over my pavement cars right now, but I'm taking a break because my dad lost a worker, so basically it's just him and me working right now, and I can't travel the way we want to plan on traveling, so that's kind of why we came back to the bowling and tried it out again.
Well, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that, obviously. You can have a lot of fun at your local tracks, and you always got just a short drive to take the dirt mod out once in a while and kick some butt out at the
pump. So, what did
you think the first time you took your own car out, were you more careful with it because it was your own, or more reckless? Now, I'm not going to say reckless like, you know, you were wanting to wreck it or anything, but when you're in somebody else's car, you tend to probably be more careful because you don't want to, you know, spend the extra money to pay for somebody else's car if you wreck it.
Actually, I drove it like I drove the cars before because I, like, the second race I raced in Yuma in someone else's car, on lap 5 of the 25 laps, I got a left front flat, and I drove it for the rest of the race like that. And now I hear it like once a week from my mom saying that. Who needs the left front, you know? But it's pretty funny.
So, you know, so, a lot of them, dirt mods don't even use their front left half the time. So with the setups nowadays.
Yeah, so now my dad's got a dirt car, so I got to put that one together and help him out. And
what's he got?
He's got the same car as me, just older.
Oh, a mod.
Yeah, a mod.
Yeah.
So hopefully he's going to be out there the September race the K&N comes.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And hopefully I'm out there too, but I got a lot of work.
Hey, he can only
fund
one at a time.
Oh, no. Basically now I pay for what I have to pay at the track. So, like, I pay for gas. I pay for other entries. I pay for everything to get out there. And he helps me out for the stuff that's in the shop. And when we go racing double, I mean, he's going to pay for his and I'm going to pay for mine, but it is not going to be cheap.
Have you guys been on the track together before?
We've raced Superstocks twice together at the Bull Ring. And the first race, it was actually a double main. And he beat me the first race, and the second race I won. So. But
yeah, wasn't that the one? No, we'll get into that. Dad's trying to take you out or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun. I get to race with the dude that helps me out since I started racing and got me in the racing. So, I mean, to give him back something to help him out racing, it means the world to me. So.
Oh, no, and that's something really cool. First of all, to be able to have a race or two with, you know, your dad, but he can't leave you alone and let you have fun by yourself. He's got to come out there and kind of push you around a little bit.
It was kind of my idea. He was like, he gave me like those hints, like, it'd be cool to race. And finally I looked at him and was like, let's just go get another dirt car. And he was just like, okay, but you got to find a cheap one. So like 2 days later, I came to him and I'm like, hey, I got this dirt car. It's turnkey. And he goes, I guess you got to get it. So now it's sitting there.
Oh, man. If any other dads are listening, that's the kind of dad we all want. Dad, buy this race car. I think you want this one.
No, but like the asphalt modified, he kind of threw in my lap right before the race. I was actually testing the junior late model, and my friend was like, your dad's looking at a late model, at a modified? And I was just like, what are you talking about? And you're like, go on Facebook. So I went on Facebook, and it was like, my dad was like, is the modified still for sale? And I was just like, I guess we're getting the modified. So then I got home, and he's like, it'd be cool to get a modified and race with the new rules out there and see what we can do. So we looked around, and a week before the first race, we got this modified, and I had to put a motor in it, transmission. I had to go through the whole car.
Sure.
And then after that, I would have to put a setup in it, and just – we're still working the bugs out of it.
You know what? And let me tell you, it was a good change, obviously, for the modified division out here at LVMS to go that route. I thought the speeds were going to be slower, but they really have not slowed down. As a matter of fact, didn't Doug Hamm break a record in the
15-4?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm actually shocked that they are doing as well as they do, you know.
I mean,
the new package.
The new package is cool. I like the motor package. They got three motor packages, if no one knows. You got a 602 at 2,500 pounds, or 2,500 pounds with a four barrel. Then you got an open motor number one, which is what I got.
It's like a super stock.
It's basically an open motor super stock motor. You rerun at 2,500, but we have a two barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one is an open motor with Vortec heads, which is 2550 with a two barrel.
Okay.
So, I mean, that program for the rules is good. I wish they did some other stuff for the cars that race tour that have like the three-piece bars and the bump stops. Because like the guys that have the older cars, like what I have and what like Justin Miller's got are conventional, and we don't have
right.
that stuff. And I mean, it is hard to keep up with those cars.
Oh yeah, you know, that's for sure. You know, but that's a tough balance to find. You know, what do you do with them guys like with the tour cars? Do you can add 100 pounds and they'll still probably be, you know, just as fast or faster,
yeah.
you know, as an older conventional.
So like the older conventional cars are going to be a little bit slower than those cars,
mm-hmm.
but it's not saying that you can't go out there and finish in the top five.
Right.
But it's also saying that it's going to be really hard work to win a race out there.
So the modified race that you raced was, have you been out in that modified on practice nights just prior or any time before that?
I did go out there the first practice of the season
okay.
with both cars, okay. with my bomber and the modified. And then I came out and hit it off on the first weekend.
Nice.
And it got rained out, so.
Right, that's right, it did.
So,
yeah. Oh, well, it happens. But so what did you think when you got in that the back in the asphalt
when
car?
I got back into my asphalt modified with the new motor package, I felt kind of slow. I was sitting there, and I was like,
waiting for it to go.
I was like, are we down? Are we yet? Like, are you look again?
Yeah, we don't have power here. I don't get it.
I mean, you go from, like, something that's got 600 horsepower
yeah.
to something that's got, like, 3-something. It's a big difference, but at the same time, it's
right.
it's helping out the class. I mean,
absolutely.
I think we have the most car count that we had ever for the modified local
series. In a long time.
In a long time.
For sure.
So, I mean, the rules are doing stuff to get more car count out
right.
there, and I think Tim made a good decision with it, and he's taking it in the right direction. It's just the tour cars, you're going to have to be on your A game if
right.
you have a conventional setup.
Well, you know, but I guess when you look back for 2 or 3 years there that he had actually ran the Lucas Oil modified rules, a lot of them guys didn't come and race locally anyway. So, you know, you're really losing any. It's hard to tell, but, you know, it'd be nice to be able to have, some of those cars come if they wanted to on a particular night. But, you know, hey. Obviously, yeah, exactly, right. You guys stay away, though. So how was the race? Was it pretty tight racing?
The first race of the season on the Sunday was really close racing. Everyone was in there still learning how to get their cars
mm-hmm.
set up, and, you know, they're still learning the package. So, yeah, it was really close racing. Everyone was bumper to bumper. This race this weekend was kind of more spread out. We had, you know, Doug Hamm with the 15-4. That's close to, like, the back of the pack for modified tour back
right.
in the day.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, that stuff kind of spread it out now, but you have the fast four guys out in the front, and you got the group in the back. So
it's still split.
It's still split down the middle, but you have at least 5 cars in each one that
right.
are racing side by side.
No, you know, that's also another thing that they did was change the tire rule. Also, they're running the 970s along with
the
new
motor
package, which they used to run the same tire that the Lucas Oil series, you know, modified series ran. So
the 970s are better tires than the 700s. The 700s, you have to buy tires every race.
Right.
Especially when you ran the big motors like
mm-hmm.
they used to. When they switched to the 970s, it was like more of a, like, saving money.
Yeah, it's a harder compound tire, and obviously it lasts a little bit longer.
It lasts longer. You can probably get 2 sets out of the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, will people buy more than that? Probably.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
But, you know.
You always do.
Yeah, so.
You know, going back to the tire and going back to Irwindale, they also incorporated the 970 on a couple of their divisions, but not with the same they didn't welcome it the same because they're running that 970 on the half mile track, and a couple guys were like they were racing on ice. So actually, there was a couple, you know, wall incidences that probably weren't you know, welcomed at all. So, but you know, you run a little faster speeds out there, so they might have to look at that on a larger track like that. Of course, our track is fast too, but it's always been more of a horsepower track, and then the you know, the tire, you know, would kind of make up for that a little bit.
Yeah.
It seems like a good balance.
Yes.
So far. So, and we're actually talking about, didn't you, Gary, you went and saw the first race. Obviously, it wasn't the Saturday because it got rained out. They had it on the Sunday.
Yeah, the Sunday race.
But you're saying, like, Petrie actually got out front for a little while. And if anybody knows Pat Petrie, he's not a small guy. So to get one of the – I don't know if he's running the crate motor or if he's running, like, the open motor or whatever. But the new combination was able to – that 350 horse was able to pull a big guy around that track pretty quick. So, I don't know how he did this last race. Mid-pack, maybe. Or,
he was a mid-pack car, like I was.
But, to be able to see, a big guy like him, to be able to, maneuver a modifier on that track with that package is just goes to show you the diversity. Because, how much do you weigh?
I weigh 185.
185. So, you're an average 185, and I'm pretty sure Pat's double. Hey, we're not making fun of you, Pat. We love you, man. But, no, it's good. That's something that Pat Petrie's done in the past, is really tried to keep that division going. And, he was kind of an advocate for that series. And I used to catch crap all the time. She used to always call me and, say, hey, you're going to bring your modified out. You're going to bring your modified out. And, I just never could. So, but
what kind of modified do you have?
It's an older left-hander chassis.
You should bring it out.
You should have asked him.
You should bring it out.
Yeah. You should have asked him which one does Pete want, him to bring.
At some point, we'll see. I mean, it's just been a busy schedule the last two or three years here. So, and not any different this coming up year. We got some cool things going on this race season. So, keep posted. There's a lot of cool stuff coming up.
Yes.
So,
lots of cool stuff.
Yeah, but anyways, so the modifieds, where did you end up finishing?
Actually, me and Pat got into an little tangle.
Damn it, Pat.
Got into a little tangle at coming out of turn two on the white flag lap, so they penalized me to the 11th spot.
Oh, no way.
So, I took my punishment and it's done and over with. Tim said he would take care of it, so we'll see what happens for the next weekend.
Is that why?
Timeout. Pat, give me timeout.
Pat, you go stand in turn four, and Vinny, you go stand in turn two.
Well, let me tell you.
Don't come out of the corners until you can get along.
I would say don't get in a fight with Pat. Now, your dad might stand a chance, but I don't think you would.
No.
I don't know. Hey, anyways, it's one of those things. It does happen.
It's racing.
It's racing. And everybody knows it's never our fault.
That's right.
It's always the next guy's fault. So
it's not Pat's fault and it's not Manny's fault.
But, So why didn't your dad look for another, an asphalt car, because it's here locally and all that, instead of a dirt car?
We brought the dirt car back.
So it's kind of before the thought of coming onto asphalt.
It was before Pete came up to me and even offered me to race a bomber car. It was before we even thought about coming back to the boring. And it's just been sitting in the corner, and I've been working on it and putting new stuff on it and getting it set up like my car. So we have somewhat of a baseline set up for them.
Sure.
But it's just like we've been so busy that we only can chip off a little bit at a time.
Right.
So hopefully it's done.
Hey, speaking of time, in the plumbing business, are there any particular times you guys get busier? Is it more like during the summer or more in the winter, or does it pretty spread out throughout the year?
When it starts getting cold out, we do get a little bit more calls, but it's mostly spread out.
Okay. Well, that's good, because it kind of doesn't interfere too much with most of the racing in this local area, at least. Anyways, but
cool.
So you brought up the bomber, of course. Gary's niche. He can kind of pipe in on some of this. I'm surprised your dad didn't want to jump at that, because that's something that your dad used to do.
My dad used to race bombers with all them back then.
I heard he used to wreck everybody.
I don't know about that.
No, I'm just kidding. I just play it with you, Vinny.
But,
I'm not playing with you, Vinny.
I didn't know your dad, but, from the bomber days or anything like that. So,
actually, he's got one of my dad's old bombers sitting out in the driveway.
Oh, no way.
It's the 22 car.
Oh, that's so funny.
He used to race that one at Perump.
No kidding.
He used to do the 6X car. That was primer.
That car's made its round.
It has.
Oh, yeah. I think I was 8 when he had that car.
Oh, no way.
I was no kid when that happened.
That is funny.
But, no, Pete, when Aaron was racing for him last year, I did race 2 races for Pete in the car that Michael Miller races now. And during
it's Michael Miller's fault.
It's always Michael's fault. I got stories about him.
Well, I bet you're not the only one.
I mean, when you get him and Pete into a shop together, it's a comedy. I just laugh.
Well,
which one's funny?
It's Michael. Michael's always
and who's usually right and who's usually wrong?
Usually Michael and Pete are always the same. I mean, but it's the jokes they crack is just some funny stuff. But no, he came to me on the off season. He was like, "Hey, I'm thinking about buying another bomber.
Wow!
And I want to put you in it." And I was just like, "Yeah, sure." So all off season, I helped him putting the bomber together and painting it and going through it and nut and bolting it. And my first race out, I actually missed something.
Oh.
And I had a bent brake drum on the right rear, and the whole race it was locking up. And obviously, the last turn that I spun out in, I drove it in just a hair deeper. I wasn't trying to hit Kyle, but I drove it in a little bit deeper, and it locked up just more than I thought, and it went around. But, I mean, it is something that we fixed, and it's fixed now, and I raced last race.
All right, here's something about a problem.
Perfectly fine. So
the next time you guys get together, it's not the drum, the brake drum's fault.
No.
Next time, okay?
Yeah, next time we get together, it's not the brake drum's fault.
I'm surprised you didn't know what a brake drum is, because that's way before your time.
You can only use that excuse once a year.
Hey, at least you get to use it next year, too.
No, but, I mean, I do work on all my cars, and I do put a lot of time into my cars, and I know what's on them and through them and every nut and bolt that's on them.
So how many cars does Pete have out there?
Pete's got 2 full-time cars. He's got me and Michael. He did have...
It's Michael's fault.
Yes, it was Michael's fault.
We all agree with that.
So he wanted us to put the black car together last race for him. And
was that the one you said Aaron used to drive?
Aaron used to drive the 22.
What do they call that? Diablo?
El Diablo.
El Diablo.
Let the Black Knight rise, basically.
Yeah.
But we were going to put that car together, and we made a motor for it. And it
all completely legal.
All completely legal.
Okay.
We made a motor, and we put it on the engine stand on Tuesday night, and it blew up.
Oh,
okay. Right. These valves.
Oh, man.
So Thursday night came around, and we put it back together and started it up and put it in the car.
Wow.
And we got out to the track, and Aaron didn't have a Lucas Oil modified race, so he was out there just hanging out, wanted to help everyone, and Pete's like, "I can't focus."
Oh.
So you're racing the car, Aaron.
That's funny.
So me and Michael turned around, and we're just like, "Hold up, Aaron's racing now."
Right.
So, I mean, it was funny, but at the same time, it's like, hey. So, but unfortunately, he broke a lower ball joint on, like, lap 5 and had to go in the infield.
Oh, so he got to watch from the inside.
Yeah. So.
That sucks. Nothing worse than, especially 5 laps in, to have to watch the rest of the race.
I mean, those 5 laps, he did pass, like, 10 cars. So. I mean, I guess that would be all the
So
he
still finished 5th, right? No, I'm just kidding. He probably passed him 5 times. No, that's cool. And obviously, the car you ran, what did you end up finishing?
I finished second.
Second, so, you know.
I mean, it's not
bad. Watch out.
I mean, I did have that mishap the first race and had to make up some points. And I'm sitting second with 10 points, I believe, behind Kyle. So hopefully I can just keep consistent finishes. And hopefully Kyle has a mess-up weekend like I had.
And yeah, it'll happen.
And
everybody has them.
Capitalize on that.
Yeah, for sure. That'd be cool. Now, the point system this year, are they back to a normal point system?
Normal point system as I know.
Okay.
I didn't really like the point system that you had to throw away a race. Kind of screwed me out of a championship for my modified.
Yeah, that's
so
tough, exactly.
But, I mean, as of right now, I know it's the normal point system that
they
always had.
We'll keep an eye out for that, because I haven't heard anything different. Have you, Gary?
No, I haven't heard nothing.
So. Yeah, last I thought, you know, it was back to kind of a normal, I mean, the same structure, but not with the, you know, some of the passing type point situation that they used to have and all that.
Well, they still have passing points for, like, if you say you qualify on the pole and you go in pill draw,
mm-hmm.
and they have 2 bags, you can do the top 5 or you can do the whole field.
Okay.
And it's a full invert to, like, top 10, And then from top five, it's just the top five you're pulling for. So like Aaron, when he used to race that,
mm-hmm.
and he always ended up starting in the back.
Yeah.
He used to pull out of the back side of it and pick the
right.
full invert always, almost every time. And because he qualified on pole, he got the passing points for that. So like I started third and I finished second. So I got one passing point.
Well, at least
point.
One passing point. Okay.
Where like Kyle started fourth and he passed
right.
two cars. He got two passing points. So you still got those passing points up in there, but it's 1 point
but,
per car.
Right, but
so.
It's not based off of your starting position per se versus, you know,
yeah.
however they used to do it. So.
But it also throws into that end point of a championship
sure.
is you can qualify on pole and get your 5 points. But you can also invert the whole field.
Mm-hmm.
And if you win that race, you get another freaking
right, all them points.
All those points,
yeah.
and that adds on to your point lead. So,
so that's something you're going to look out for is whether, you know, where you're sitting in points, obviously, to which bag you're going to pull from.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Because if you start at the back and you know you got a fast car, like it looks like you're
I got a fast car. I'm still working out some bugs to catch
sure.
Kyle. I mean, Kyle's also been racing nonstop for the last 3 years in the bomber division.
You're right, he's got a lot. Yeah,
so, I mean, I had a year off, and I still got to get the bugs worked out of the car, so hopefully we can get them figured out by the next couple of races. And
so what do you think of the bombers? I mean, obviously, it's a lot different than a modified or even a dirt modified, any of those, that you have a lot more things to adjust and adapt to, where that you're pretty much limited.
I like the bombers. I like what they did with the weight rule and with all the other rules they have. They are a little sketchy to drive because they are big, heavy cars.
And you're on a DOT street tire.
You're on a DOT street tire, and to run with me and Kyle, you got to be up on the wheel.
And the times you guys are running nowadays are pretty quick for a stock car. You know, that's a true stock car.
We're running 19.2s, 19.1s,
yeah, race
speed flat.
Exactly.
So I mean, we are moving it up around the track. So I mean, it is. You got to be up on the wheel. You got to be ready for anything that comes your way. And I give props up to Kyle, and I give props to me. I give props to everyone that's in the division.
Well, and that's very respectful of you because, you know, the better your competition is, the better it makes you, you
yeah.
know, that gives you something to push for and you know, and things happen. You're going to get into each other. I don't care who it is on the track at some point, and, you know, you just take those as they come at the time. But, you know, I don't know what Gary thinks about that. It's always the next guy's fault with Gary. It's never his fault. He's always the speed guy.
He's
just asking. Yeah, he's just staying quiet.
He's
this
just
is
his, quiet over there.
This is his division. We're talking about the bombers, man. This is where you should shine, right?
I'm actually looking at
going
the
on and on and on about it.
Oh, man. But, you know, that you're jumping into a big, heavy car, which, you know, they've actually, like you said, they did something with the weight rule a couple years ago now. It's been a couple years
yeah.
since they, so, 2 or 3 years.
3 years ago. 3 years ago,
three?
I think. They
you know, which
that.
Which was a good thing. And they Tim's been pretty consistent with the rules and all that. And I guess without giving away any secrets, what do you think the secret of to making one of them old, heavy cars fast? Is it horsepower? Is it tire? Is it... you know,
basically I think it's all set up. It's, you got to drive the car really loose.
Well, you know, and that's something though you're limited on. I mean, obviously you still have, you know, adjustments you can do to the car, but you're limited to some of the things you can put into that car also,
which is
according
true.
To the rules. I mean, do you have to run stock, like steel shocks? Do they have to be stock, or what? I don't know what the rules are for the shocks.
They went to racing shocks.
But there's a claimer.
There's a claimer rule on them. You can run racing shocks now. You can also run, you have to run stock springs, but you can change them out to whatever sizes you want.
And they do allow adjustable spring pockets, don't they? But they're not...
I don't think they can be adjustable.
Yes, they can be adjustable.
But... not with like a weight jack or
right,
a bolt.
Right.
It has to be, you have to jack it
the
up to actually.
Spring pocket.
Right.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I don't know. I'm not familiar with that, but.
That's not my forte. That's how Pete and I just, basically, I do all like the oil changes and the little stuff.
Right.
They, when it comes to the setup, that's when I give it back to Pete and like, here, Pete, and like, you guys got all those cars fast, make this one fast.
Right.
And then I'll tell you what to do after that.
Right.
So
you know, obviously the number of cars out there are good. They have a good car count every time. Does that help your motivation when you're out there, depending on where your starting position is?
I mean, it does help me out. I mean, I love racing against people, and I mean, more cars are much better for me. I mean, I love racing with people, but at the same time, it's like when we do qualify, usually Kyle picks out of the top four bag. So it's not like we're racing all the people in the back. We're racing the top five people that he pill jogged from.
Right.
Which I have no problem with. It makes me start up in the front more and less work for me.
No, in the you bombers, know, you're doing group qualifying, correct? And then in the modified,
we do single.
What do you prefer? What do you like? And what's the differences in the boat?
I like the single car qualifying. It's kind of like you're on the track by yourself, and it's your time, time to do it, and you got to bust out a fast lap.
Right.
And group qualifying, it's more you got to spread out, make sure no one's in front of you. And you have someone that you know that's a little bit slower than you in front, you got to back it up big time.
Mm-hmm.
And like my first time out there on the Sunday, I caught up to a dude that was in front of me, and I screwed myself.
Right, in your line where you need to go.
I screwed myself, and I had to back off and screw up the lap. So.
Hey, the good news is you get passing points because you're going to start further back.
So, I mean, I like the single car qualifying, but it's a lot of bombers out there, and they're not going to be doing that. So.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's part of it is, you know, the more cars you have, that one car qualifying takes obviously a lot more time and all that, but it's always been the norm in the past, but it's good to see them go into like that group qualifying. I think it helps speed up the show, and you know, it's especially in a division like that, sometimes it's hard to get a qualifying setup because it's totally different than your race setup in a race car.
Yeah, for a modified. Yeah.
You know, and it's hard to change, let's say, a stock car versus a modified for that type of, you know, qualifying setup and all that. So, but what would you like to see different in the bombers? That, I mean, I know you're new to it and all that, but from your new experience at it, do you see anything? Should they allow more or less?
I kind of like where the bombers are at right now.
Would you like to see them water the track or go back to kind of the old school days?
I mean, it's cool to water
the
track.
Enduro races maybe. I don't know.
Heck, I remember my dad's first win. It was a race where they used to like put out the flag and you had to do a 360.
Right.
That was his first win, and I was just like, I didn't really understand it, but he did it.
Well, you know, and some of those props, I guess, are for that reason, to get different people a chance to get those wins. You know, I don't care who they are, you know, it mixes it up enough to be able to get different
winners. I didn't
really
like the 20-minute breakout races. I wasn't a fan of them.
Why not? I mean, what was the reason for you personally?
Tim made the rule for the cars.
Because I like the breakout races, and I'll tell you why.
For the cars that do run 20s.
Right.
And what I've seen from watching and actually racing in one is the fast guys are going to be the fast guys. You're not going to slow them down unless they're cheating and you catch them.
Right.
They're going to be in the front.
Well, now,
no
is that the
what.
Key? If you catch them?
No. It's not
okay,
the key.
Okay, I'm just playing.
Like if they were cheating. Sure. But I'm saying like they're the fast guys. They're going to be doing anything and anything to get to the front. So when a 20-minute race comes up, a 20-minute breakout race.
Or 20-second breakout race.
Or 20-second, sorry. Second breakout race shows up, they're going to fly by everyone on the outside, and then they're in the front waiting for the guy in front of them to break out.
Right.
That's what I saw, where, like, back in the day when I was racing a bomber when I was 14, when we did a breakout race for the first time, it was everyone. You couldn't run faster than the 20.
Right, and I agree with that, because that's what I liked about the 20-second breakout rule back then, was it wasn't just the winner.
Yeah.
It was
just
anybody,
the leader.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, that was a lot of stuff going on because they had to watch everyone's lap times. So I understand why he did just a leader.
Sure.
But at the same time, those cars that do run 20s can't just pass everyone on the outside that, like the cars that run 19.2s and 19.1s.
You know, and one thing that it has done when they did run them was it did keep the guys, you know, kind of racing more in a pack together. I've seen some real exciting races. You know,
it did do that.
You know, I didn't see too many. I mean, they did have one bad accident that I know of, but besides that, it really wasn't. They really haven't had many bad breakout races that had bad wrecks that I remember. I mean, obviously, I could be wrong because I haven't been to every race out there that they've had breakout races. But I like the close racing that it brought. It allowed, and I don't know many people knew it or not, the breakout rules were different than just a regular bomber rule. So you could run different tires and different things like that because it didn't matter. You can make your car as fast as you want. It's still a breakout race. You cannot, you know, as a leader, you couldn't break out past that 20-second, lap speed. So I like the idea that it kept the guys together, and it at any given time, it would give a chance for, you know, somebody else to win. And it did do that. You get a guy like Aaron, though, to get out there, and if he did break out, he could start in the back and work his way back up front again. But you know what? That's part of the excitement.
Yeah.
Making him do that.
Making him do it more than once.
You know, so I missed that. I don't think they have any on the schedule this year.
No, I haven't seen that.
As I know, they don't.
Yeah. So I wish they would put one on, but I'm sure there's probably more than half the guys that didn't like the breakout race, because, you know, most racers are, well, we build race cars to go as fast as we can and not be limited and all that. But you look at the NHRA guys. The
mic's falling.
My mic's falling.
Oh, hey, your mic's falling. Oh, okay. Gary, you have to tighten this mic up here.
I looked down, it was like down here.
Well, we automatically assumed you were talking about Mike Miller. That Mike Miller's fault.
Michael Miller.
He jumped over there.
Mike Miller's calling.
My mic's falling.
And regardless, it is Mr. Miller's fault.
That's right. That's all Michael's fault.
That's one thing about like the breakout races that I used to like seeing. So I hope to see them put it on, maybe as a non-points race, you know, a special event night where you can, you know, the guys could race it and not.
I think the what's it called, the
Senators Open Comp? They used to
the
have
open
it.
Open Comp,
but I don't,
is a breakout race that you can do whatever you want.
Well, that's what they did last year. I don't think it's on the schedule this year. I don't remember seeing it. I could be wrong, but
I don't even think the modifieds are on it this year either.
No, I don't think so either. I know they put the late models on this year, and I believe they have the junior late models on the same night.
Junior late models are racing that.
Where in last year they didn't have late models, because they usually have like the regular, you know, the super lates or whatever you want to call them. They also used to have late models. Well, last year they didn't have late models. But I think they're back on with late models,
yes,
and juniors.
Super late models, super stocks, and then they're putting the juniors on there.
Right.
Junior late models. Yep.
So, yeah, instead of running a double duty, how about a super stock? You run three races a night.
No? I've been there, done it.
You don't like the super stocks?
I mean, I think
that's one of the most exciting divisions, because it's kind of a cross between the bombers and, you know, maybe a modified or something like that.
I like the super stocks. It's just I don't like working on them. It's a lot of stuff in the way to get where you got to go. Like modifieds, I can just take off the hood.
Yeah, exactly.
Boom, there's the motor, there's the uppers, right, there's the lowers. Like the whole front end's open, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand that. That's some of the differences in a stock car and a purpose-built race car.
Yeah.
You know, a purpose-built race car like a modified or even a, you know, late model, super late, you can get to some of the things you need to get to work on it.
Yeah, like the change of gear in my bomber, I don't even know how to do it.
Right.
I have to take it somewhere, like where the change of gear in my modified, I can sit up inside the
right
thing and
right,
pull it out,
and
put it right on my chest,
exactly,
and lower it down.
Well, yeah, you got, you know, floater rear ends where you
yeah
can pop the axles out, and you can, you know, pop the center section out, and
yep,
you can change your gears. Where a bomber, well, you shouldn't be changing your gears anyways, but if you did have to, you have to, you know, pretty much disassemble the whole rear end.
Yeah.
You
so
know. They do have a gear rule, don't they, for the
yes
bombers?
355.
Does anybody follow that? Do you know? I always thought that's the place where
I think people do.
They're supposed to, but I think that's an area where I don't think a lot of checking is going on.
Well, they checked the gears last race.
Oh, did they?
Oh, that's what they checked.
Well, cool. I'm glad they did that.
Because my trailer's got oil all over it. That's what I know, because I was racing the modified. So all I know is Michael drove my car back and it was leaking oil. So.
And it sucks because Giro is the worst.
It's Michael Miller's fault.
I can't. It's
Michael's
fault.
He's like, I got your car. Just leave it intact. So I hopped in the modified. And I get out of the modified, and all I know is Michael's coming around the turn, and he drives up on the trailer. And then the day I walked outside, and there's just gear oil everywhere.
That's
and
tough.
Then Michael's like, I called Michael, and he's like, oh, yeah, they changed the gear. Oh, I guess they got to put it back on.
I'm glad they checked. Did anybody get DQ'd or did you know of? No?
As if I've, no one did.
No one? Okay.
So, the top five all passed, so.
Wow, I'm surprised. Who got paid up now? I'm glad to hear that, because that was always an area where I thought, there may be an issue of, people not doing what they're supposed to. But I'm glad that they did that. What do you think about teching? I mean, is that something, you've been to different tracks of dirt. I don't know what do they tech for a lot of times in dirt. Do they do weight? Do they do?
Well, for modifieds at the dirt tracks, we have to weigh a certain weight after the race. They don't care what we weigh at the beginning. So like, when we get off the track, the first thing we do is go across scales.
Mm-hmm.
Then they check our crate motors, if we have a crate motor or an open motor. Then they can check a bunch of stuff. They can check pinion angles because you only can be a certain angle. They can check deck heights, ride heights.
Right. So they mix that part up, but do you always do a weight
check? We always do a weight check, though.
Okay.
Because if you're underweight, then you're automatically DQ'd, no matter what.
So then, they don't have to check anything else. So that makes sense.
But it is a lot of body rules on that, on those cars.
I mean, and that's one thing about IMCA. There's a reason for that, because they keep it where if you want to go to Florida and race IMCA, you could.
You can race anywhere across the U.S.
Yep, and all following the same rules as any
same
state.
Rules, same everything.
Now, do they have it now because they do have the spec engines and all that, where you have to specify whether you're running a crate motor? You have to put crate?
You can put it on your A pillar, which is, you can put crate, or they are starting to put like Chevy symbols.
Oh, so to signify a crate or
signify that's a crate motor.
Okay.
And then like, you're supposed to put open if you run an open motor, but a lot of people don't do that. So like, if you don't see one, it's an open motor.
So most likely it's open. Because I guess it's a 604 crate motor in the IMCA normal division, and then the A mods and the B mods are the 602 crate motors, and obviously a lot more differences. I don't think they're allowed to run certain.
They can't run quick changes, and they have their third links.
Right,
you can't run.
So you run a three link, not a four link, or a Z bar setup, or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, okay, well that's cool to know. And you did say you ran a B mod before.
As an A mod, yes.
So I mean, it's almost
actually the car that I had a flat tire on.
Oh no,
the A mod class. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's almost along the same lines as what the asphalt modifieds are this year. You got a crate motor with some open options and all that. So I'm glad Tim did that. Of course, you can go to lvms.com, check out the Bullring link and Racers link, and check that out, because that's where the information is for the local track. You can always go to the BomberNation.com website, click on the message board, and see who's talking about you, see if Vinny Rucci or Vinny Rucci Jr.'s, anybody's talking crap about them guys. It used to be JJ, but he's not here to talk crap about anybody right now. So that's Justin. So if you want to talk crap about Justin, go to the BomberNation.com website. Don't do it on Facebook. Do it on the BomberNation.com website. Click on the message boards. Have you ever been there?
I've been there.
On there, check it out. There's always stuff for sale there. It's a good place locally to check that out. You want to talk about your dad's business again real quick? I know we're getting close to running out of time. We got a few more minutes.
Like I said before, my dad's business is Silver Star Plumbing, Drain, and Sewer.
Do you have a website?
We do have a website. It's called Silver Star Plumbing. I think it's called silverstarplumbing.com.
Okay.
If I messed it up, I'll...
But you always get a hold of some of you guys on Facebook, obviously.
Facebook, Silver Star Plumbing. Just look it up. It'll pop up. We do everything. We do cammering, jetting, snaking. We do...
Residential, commercial. Okay.
Everything you need to do, we got.
Cool. That's good. And you're learning the biz.
Learning the
trade
from my dad.
That's cool. Yeah, it's a good trade to have. I think nowadays a trade is where it's at. You know, a lot of guys go do these different things and they think they're going to end up, you know, in these fantastic great jobs. Not that a trade is not a great job, but it's a better future, I guess. You know, there's a lot of great things you can do in a trade. You know, obviously you run your own business, be an entrepreneur and all that, and that's what you want to be, especially at your young age. You're already thinking about it, so,
yeah, so.
Keep that mindset, man.
One more year and I go and get my contractor's license of Nevada. So
dethrone your dad. That's what it's all about.
No, I'm not dethroning him. It was actually his idea. He was like, you need to go get your license. So he's like, when I want to step down, I can.
Right.
He just wants to retire early. Probably in mind.
So, I mean, I'll take it over. I still have a lot more stuff to learn.
Well, yeah.
I've learned a lot from him, and I still have more to learn from him.
And then you got to learn from Mom in the front office.
Yeah. But, like, my problem there is, like, I sit down, and she starts talking, and I fall asleep because she knows it, too. She laughs. She's probably laughing. But she knows it's true because, like, my dad would do it, too. He'll sit there and be like, and when she'll turn around, he'll be like looking up like cars. Or something.
He does like she does this to me every night.
Now. What's the next modified I want to buy?
No, well, then he'll be spending Junior's money when he buys a modified.
Yeah. No, he's one of those people. Like if you want a car like used, he knows exactly where to go because he's just always looking.
Well, smart guy. He's always knows where to find stuff. How much experience does your dad have
in plumbing?
Yeah.
I think,
without giving away his age, probably 30 plus years.
Well,
I would imagine.
My senior year, I wrote a report about him, and it was 25 years.
Wow.
Experience. So it's got to be higher than that now.
So 30 plus years. So you got 30 plus years to catch up to your dad. So you'll never have his experience for another 30 plus years. Just so you know.
Yeah.
But you can't put a price
on
that knowledge.
I can say I learned from the best. So.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you can't put a price on that knowledge. You know, you absorb what you can and you experience some of your own stuff. You know, it's like Gary. You know, he does trailers and trailer repairs. So anytime you guys need anything,
I call him always.
Yep, he's the guy to call. You know, sometimes we think we can do it all, but we shouldn't. Yeah, you know, we can change our own oil and all that, in our work trucks and all that, but doesn't mean we should. You know, leave it to the experts. They can get in and get out. But anyway, so you got some races coming up. On what dates?
Actually, the next race I think is the 14th. Like Gary said,
On the Big Rig Night.
On the Big Rig Night, we got the Bombers and the Modified. So
again,
double duty.
You like that double duty?
I like it because it gives me more track time, which we're all out there to have fun. So more time on the tracks, more fun for me.
Less pressure in the Bombers, you think? Not that.
I mean, I feel like I have the same amount of pressure in both classes because racing for Pete Myers.
Sure.
He's got, I think, the last 5 championships. So it is a lot of pressure on me. I want to do good and want to prove his name right. So that's a lot of pressure. Plus, I got me and my modified, which everybody knows I got to do something with that. So,
well, it's good to have the young blood in both these divisions, the Bombers and the modifieds, you know, out there. You know, it's a good mix in both those divisions. You know, Bombers technically were, you know, kind of more at the time when they first were set up to be an entry level type division, but they're more of an entertainment division now than anything. You know, like the street stocks used to be. They're not just junkyard cars anymore. They're race cars. You know, they cost money. And
well, if you ask Tim, he says they're cars. They're just regular cars that we race.
They're stock cars.
According to Pete, he tells me this every day. He goes, Tim tells me that they're not race cars. They're just cars that we race.
Well, you know,
that's what he says about Bombers.
Well, that's a different, and that's why stock car racing is different than purpose-built race car racing, because you're taking a stock car and you're racing it, and he's right, you know, but, you know, you're able to tweak it and all that. Unfortunately, we're out of time. You plugged any other sponsors you want to talk about real quick? You got about 30 seconds.
Okay, I think, once again, my mom and dad, Silver Star Plumbing, Drain and Sewer, CSN Graphics, A First Depression Signs, just everyone that helps me out.
And if anybody wants to get a hold of you, they can go to your Facebook page,
Ruchi Racing, or my dad's Silver Star Plumbing page if you guys have any plumbing problems. If you guys are at the racetrack, come by and say hi. I
You're in the 911 car.
911 cars in the bummer and modified.
Right. So cool. We'll see April 14th out of LVMS, and we'll see you guys live during the Tuesday PM as we are every week. See you at onwheelsnow.com next week. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, Vinny, for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening.